It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey.
So I want to know one thing.
One thing, and then we're done.
One thing.
Then we're done.
We just had an opportunity to have Oreo cookies, and you passed.
Yeah.
I tried. I gave you the eyebrow. I mean, when the offer was there, I gave you the eyebrow, and you totally dissed it. What's the deal with Oreos in you?
No, I like Oreos.
I like Oreos. But you passed on them.
I passed because on this day, on this night, at 8 o'clock in the evening,
okay.
It just didn't sound like the calories I wanted to have. And if they were here...
Are you counting calories, Wayne?
I would have them. I'm always counting them.
Well, a simple Oreo...
When I get up to 5 or 6,000, I try to slow down.
Well, that makes sense.
No, I came back from this Texas trip just a little higher than I like to be. So I'm trying to cut back a little bit before I go.
Oh, that's right.
And if somebody brought in a piece of chocolate cake right now, those calories are worth it.
You would have devoured it.
Well, those are worth it. The Oreo cookie?
That doesn't work for you.
Homemade chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah, I know. I saw that. And then when Sarah said that they got left at school.
Cold Stone chocolate ice cream with hot fudge on it? Worth it.
Woo!
Oreo cookie tonight?
And they're not even a sponsor.
Some days it'd be worth it. They're not even a sponsor. Well, let's see what we can do about that and get some freebies. My goodness. Well, the forum's been active, hasn't it?
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff. But you know, one of the things that piqued my interest was they were talking about wanting to hear a show about kind of like depression and dealing with chronic mental illness and stuff like that. I thought you were perfect for that.
Well, I'm still in denial about it, so yeah. I'm not sure it would be
helpful.
This
is an intervention show. We're going to try to confront Wayne with his chronic mental illness.
Okay, and you can call. Oh, never mind. Evan said, I'd like to hear Wayne and Brad discuss how to deal with mental health issues and chronic negative emotions that we can encounter on this journey, but I don't know if they personally experienced serious mental health issues requiring outside professional help. I'm available and willing if they want to interview me on this issue. So, in fact, I did interview someone a few months ago who had been part of a body of believers for some time, was sliding into some depression, which he attributed to a, kind of a breakup of a relationship combined with some real criticalness in his own heart about other Christians, thinking he was part of the favored group. And then found himself on the brink of suicide and a SWAT team outside of his house and some days in getting some help. And he said to me, which I found interesting, is that the body of Christ through that wasn't helpful because he was told if you just would believe the Bible, you'd be fine.
Yeah, they don't really want downers.
He was there. He's at the point of, you know, going to take his own life and finally had to go outside of the family in the sense of getting professional help to get it sorted out, which I applaud. People ask me, you know, should you go to a secular counselor or only Christian counselors or whatever? And I...
If they're helpful.
Yeah, I don't know how deeply we're going to get into this. I am not an expert on depression issues. I don't know that... I mean, I've had bad days and I know what despair is, but I tell you, as I have talked to people who are really battling depression... clinical depression. I don't know that I've been close to that.
No, I don't think until you live with it where it is pretty much debilitating over an extended period of time, I don't think unless you've been there that you really are going to understand people who battle with that. And I think it's, you know...
I've dealt with a lot of people
who have, you know, sought help because of depression issues and things like this. So I think I have some understanding, but I'm devoid of that, you know, the personal experience of I know what it's like. I know what I've been told, and I've listened and I've shared and I've walked with people that battle with that. And, you know, what I have learned is it's not something to just sort of say, well, get over it. You know, it isn't one of those, well, just, you know, got to make up your mind. You know, it's like, you know, don't worry, be happy. And
this is the day the Lord has made.
Yeah,
I will rejoice
in you. Just praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I think I think the challenge of the institution is, I think most people really aren't that interested in rolling up their sleeves and walking several miles with somebody who's really dealing with that. You know, we do that with a lot of problems where it's like people, you know, hi, how are you? They're not really asking that. Anyone that stops to answer that one doesn't tend to get responded to the way they were hoping. Is, you know, a lot of times people just, oh, you know, they're uncomfortable. And I don't know why that is. I mean, I, you know, we can come up with a lot of things, but at the end of the day, I don't really know why we have that veneer, that plastic dynamic within relationships. Because it seems to me the bulk of people tend to go to the clubs and to the church environments because they are seeking relationship. It's just bizarre to me that that's not what they're really finding when they need it most.
Well, I think sometimes we're so needy ourselves that the whole consumeristic mindset of where you attend, whether you attend a house church versus a traditional congregation or whatever, a lot of it is based on what I think I need and I want for my life. It's kind of like those seagulls in Nemo. And I think that's – so when you get near somebody that has a chronic enduring need, and I don't – it can be – mental health and emotional, like we just talked about, depression. It can be someone dealing with cancer or a continued financial need. I think people get exhausted in their own life. First of all, they don't carry enough extra from their own life to really be available to someone else. And the other part is that we just want people to fix it. We want to pray about it, and then that's the Band-Aid, and you should be better. I know people, my wife said this one day, you know, she talked about just being going through a tough spot with a group of people, and they prayed that she would have the joy of the Lord. And but it's just not a bad prayer, but then at the end of the prayer, you kind of feel like you have to pretend.
Yeah. You happy
smile.
Now?
Yeah.
It's all better?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. And I do think people get tired of chronic need, and people who have chronic need feel that, regardless of what people are saying, they do feel brushed off and a bit impatient.
I don't know that they're just tired of it. I think they're frightened by it. I think when you're presented with something that I can't just pray away, then it's a crisis of faith.
Which is most of life, isn't it?
But then it's a crisis of faith. And I think that's why there is so much pretense and just sort of the whole plastic little smiles, like, how you doing, brother? Oh, great, fine, thank you. And you're just going to like... I think people are afraid of dealing with the nuts and bolts of real nitty-gritty life.
Hey, we're talking about depression. Don't use nuts. Okay, because that probably wouldn't be good.
Right? I wasn't using it in that context.
I'm sorry.
You know, some of the things I've learned about the depression dynamics is that, you know what? I don't think you can paint with a broad brush anywhere within this subject. I think sometimes there are physical ailments. And that the emotional depression is an additional onset that's debilitating, that is sort of the resultant residue of someone who just lived with chronic sickness and physical, you know, ill health. And they're just, and it hasn't been solved. And then not only that, it's like they're just feeling down. And I think sometimes it isn't associated with that. You know, I have been in situations where, look, spiritual warfare dynamics and prayer and healing brought about deliverance from depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's spiritual dynamics behind it. I also heard that, you know, to some degree, a lot of times depression is anger turned inward. And that's for some folks, it's like there is a self-absorbed dynamic of I'm not getting what I want and I'm bummed out. And it's like sometimes it's just that. But I think some of the questions that are laying are things that are much deeper than just that. And so what I've recognized is that most of the time when people are dealing with this, there is no quick fix because it's a many-layered dynamic. There's a lot of things that go into the whole health of a person.
But one of the things I think we'd want to say very clearly is if you feel like you're one of these who are battling depression, and that's just not you're having a bad day or week or month or whatever, but this, like you said, debilitating, long-term.
Hopelessness.
Yeah, just can't get going during a day and just feel totally disconnected, is to take it seriously and do whatever you can see to do to see what works. It's like you said, there's no certain answers. If a prayer from a group does it, great. If a prayer from a group doesn't do it, It is worth seeing a medical doctor and finding out if there are physical contributions to this thing or chemical contributions to this thing that can help out. It is helpful to see a counselor. And to be honest, I always say not necessarily a Christian counselor. If you've got a Christian counselor who understands depression, who can help you work it out, great. But so many people who travel under the name Christian counselors are just purveyors of sin, of shame management. And it's all about trying harder, doing better, pretending to be happy, ignore your feelings, and all that crud.
Take these two Bible verses, call me in the morning.
Which I'd say stay away from that. When anybody just tells you, look, here's all you need to do, whatever follows that, it's usually nuts. It's usually not going to help you.
Yeah.
And so take it seriously. I had my wife when she went through the counselor training, and you deal with people, even thoughts of suicide. I mean, maybe you thought about it once. That's not a deal. But persistent there.
Yeah, those not to be ignored.
Man, that ought to be a huge red flash sign going off in your life. Tell somebody. Tell a close friend. Get to a counselor. Get to a doctor. Take that seriously, because it's not worth ending your life over depression. It's not worth it, even if it looks like it, like, man, I just got to get out of this thing, and I have no place else to go, and nobody cares about me. It's not worth ending what God's given you, because you're caught in a hole right now, and you can't find your way out, because there are ways to get out.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that's so, I think, so challenging is that depression is so isolating for people. And what they really need is they need some folks who will be there with them, not just trying to fix them, but who will hang out there with them. And that takes a pretty unique set of people to be able to hang with someone who really is battling in that arena. That's it can be exhausting. I know that people that sought me out that dealt with this, it's like I would, after spending some time with them, I would leave physically and mentally absolutely spent, because I'm trying to do everything that I know to help. And one of the things I realize is, you know what? Sometimes just to be with someone, to acknowledge the fact that there is something here that is beyond us, beyond our ability to just fix. I can't just define it away. Can't just pray it away.
Or blame it away and say, this is your fault. You need to just think more positive thoughts. I mean, that's what's so unhelpful. That's like telling someone who's grieving for the death of a loved one, well, they're in a better place. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
It may even be true, but it doesn't help.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is so helpful is if what emerges out of the acknowledgement of this is where I'm at is honesty and the freedom of the capacity to just go, like, this is where I'm at. As opposed to, is that good or is that bad? It's just, this is where I'm at. You know, I think there's one silver lining of real benefit that I've seen from people that I've known been in depression, is when all of a sudden they realize that they need something more than just themselves to live this life. That's actually an incredible point of good revelation. And the dependence of being able to cry out to God and say, hey, God, guess what? I can't fix this. I can't just do better. I can't just try harder. There is a good side of brokenness.
If they know that. I think most don't know it. Most keep saying, gosh, if I could just, you know, something I'm not doing right. I'm not praying right or believing right, or I've got an addiction to pornography or something going on that justifies my depression, and I'm just weak, and if I could do better, it would be. So I think people really need to know that. Number one, we can't crawl out of anything we've done to ourselves.
No.
Even addictions that we seem to be. That's the podcast we did for last week about earning grace by repenting and not sinning willfully anymore. Well, gosh, most of our sins border on the willful. It's not like we didn't know not to do it. It's that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak kind of thing. So realize that Jesus was able to handle that with his guys. The things he asked them to do, he knew they couldn't do. He knew Peter wasn't going to be strong that night and was going to, you know, deny him anyway. And he was going to be depressed the next day over that. So realize that you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So I think that is a great place for people to come to. That is maybe also where you can be a friend to someone who's in depression, because maybe they don't have enough wherewithal to pull that out. And you know them. You know them. They're always heavy. They're hurting. They're not functioning well. And even when you ask them, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. And then we let it pass because we don't want to crawl into that hole with them because we feel incompetent. I think a lot of people, I don't know what I'll do. I'm not a professional. I have no idea. And so I just want to.
Yeah, we're frightened.
I want to smooth over the conversation. This would be a great place to say, hey, you know, crawl into that hole. Even if you're saying stuff like, I have no idea what to do for you, but I want you to know I'm going to be here for you and I'll walk with you through this and I'll help you find the help we need. So if you're the one that says, who's your doctor? Let's make an appointment. If you're the one that says, let's find a counselor and call some mental health people and find out who to go talk to, let's try this person or that person that may have some giftedness to help people with depression. And be an eye for them. And if the person who's trying to help them has got the big shovel full of religious obligation, just kind of say, let's pass this one by. And maybe that would help a ton for people to know. Yeah, depression sometimes just catches up with some folks. And like we said, we don't know. The reasons can be incredible. Like you said, you went through a lot of them. I know people that I've walked with in depression that really, if I believed what they believed about, if I was in their worldview of life, I'd be depressed too. I mean, they're coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
Were never matured for some reason. They didn't know how to handle grief, how to handle pain, and so instead of being able to process it over time, not immediately, but they haven't learned how to do it. And I've said to some people, we even, you know, went on some medication for a while to help with depression. If it's not a chemical imbalance, I'm okay with somebody using Prozac or whatever. Sure. Just like I would use a crutch if I broke my leg. I think it is a crutch. But if I broke my leg, a crutch would be a pretty good thing to have for a while that bone gets healed. And I think when the despair gets too great, maybe some medication helps you get back to a place where you can have the conversations and prayers.
Yeah, I had a fantastic friend that, you know, still, I think to this day, to measure, struggles with depression. And one of the things that unfortunately he got from, you know, the church structure is, you know, there was something wrong with him because he was taking Prozac. And I'm just sitting here going, like, just objectively, if I look from the outside, you know what? When you're taking that, wow, life is more manageable for you. When you're not, you can't do much anything. Everything goes into the wastebasket. And I look at that, and it was like, there's just a point of realization. You know what? You can't paint with a broad brush here.
Right.
In this situation, that was very helpful for him. Now, in other situations, I've known that sometimes that drug can almost invite even greater suicidal thoughts in some individuals. And so just going like, you know what? I know enough about the medical profession to know that they don't really know exactly how all of this works.
There's
this
side
works
effects to
with
everything.
Some people,
right.
It doesn't work with other people. And I think when you look at this, if you can recognize that there may be many sources that are at play here, all working different dynamics, and to really help someone crawl out of this, it may take a while. And I think you said something that I've recognized is key. You're dealing with almost universally with depression stuff. Something is unprocessed. Something's unprocessed. Whether it's the chicken or the egg thing, it's like, you know what? There may be a chemical imbalance that right now some drug therapies will actually help stabilize. That will then allow that person to process. That if they do at some juncture, maybe these are no longer necessary at all.
Yeah, well, there's two kinds of drugs. There's the drugs that kind of repress the pain and kind of give you an emotional ability to handle things. And there's the kind that compensate for deficiencies. And, you know, just like a diabetic would take insulin. It just helps correct the mind's chemical balance so that it can process life. So
yeah,
there's really two things here. One, if you take it as a way to soften the depression, then don't take that as a final answer. Just take it as, man, this will give me some clarity of mind so that I can work through whatever I need to work through with somebody. Because even Richard and others who've been through moments of depression have gotten some real help will turn around and say, there is help out there. There's people that can get you in a better place so that you're not living with this excruciating pain every day. and take advantage of it. Find it however you have to find it. Call the mental health people in your community. Sometimes, there's all kinds of county offices and whatever, and they know people, they know counselors, places to go that have some effective treatment of it. In that, even if you're going to a secular counselor, go in God's name. Go and say, God, speak to me through this. And maybe they're going to say something. You go, that didn't sound like God, and I'm just not going there. But for the most part, these people will understand your faith. They're not going to dismiss your faith. No good counselor is going to dismiss your faith to try and help you, even if they're a secular counselor. But take it seriously. Get the help you need. And then learn how to process. I think one of the things that I often, as I talk to people who go through this, I want to find out what are your thought processes. And sometimes it's, gosh, the thought processes are fine, so it kind of aims to me to be more chemical. Other times, no, the thought processes are pretty bad.
And you shut down.
If I woke up that way every day, and my friend Dave, who helped me write the Jake book, and I think we'd love to get him on sometime to talk about this. He's had a lot of experience with depression. He says what you mentioned earlier, that there's two ways seemingly to respond to fear in our life, fear and threats. One is to externalize it, and that's anger. And you lash out at other people, and you're just a mean, nasty person outside and probably never get depressed because you're just wailing on everybody else. You're never the problem. Everybody else is. And then the other way he says we deal with it is that we internalize that anger or fear, and then we take it out on ourselves. So that's where depression stems from. It's the same thing. Same thing that makes this guy an angry, bigoted whatever is the same thing that's causing someone else to just get all turned up on themselves and not even be able to wake up in the morning and get out of bed and cope with the day. So there's hope. There's answers for these things, even though I'd be the first to say they're not easy. And like you said, if it can be done in a day, great. But most of the time, this is a long process of God rearranging things in our thought processes.
You didn't get depressed in a day. You're not getting undepressed in a day. Awesome. I think when you look at this whole arena, I think one really valuable thing to trying to highlight this a little earlier, is in the cases where people have gotten better that I would love to celebrate and be excited about, almost all of those people that I know, that I had experience with, they learned something that I look back and I marveled. They recognize, you know what, I can't do this in my own strength. And there's a lot of people I know who are still trying to live life in their own strength.
Yep, and that'll depress you.
Well, at some point, yeah, it'll make you angry. I mean, you'll hit the wall of reality that, you know what, the life that we've been called to walk is not a normal, human, unassisted life. God is calling us to live a supernatural life, that the Holy Spirit is going to be the energy by which we live that out. And I think a lot of times the silver lining in the depression stuff is those people get brought to the end of themselves. And the ones that I've seen gotten better. And it's not that, okay, that's the key of all depression. It's more like the stories that I know, I was excited to be able to be the recipient of some of what they learned. Mm-hmm. Of being able to realize, you know what? They know that life is larger than them. And they're okay with that. They've made peace with the fact that, you know what? Yeah, I need help. And they're fun to be around. They're easy to be around. They, you know, at one point, they might have sucked everyone down below the surface. But on the backside of what they've gone through, they're some of the most grace-filled, mercy-filled folks that they recognize they're able to sit with others who are in that same boat. And they actually have some life to offer, not just some quick fixes.
Well, I think that's what Paul was talking about when he and Timothy... 2 Corinthians 1, I think, is just an amazing chapter because it talks about Paul and Timothy being caught in some kind of circumstance, and they don't detail it, but it said they despaired even of life. That's pretty deep. Yeah, I mean, it's like, gosh, wouldn't we be better off dead? Whatever they're saying about that, it's pretty intense, and yet he said these things happen that we might learn not to rely on ourselves but on God. And you know, I think what we're talking about in terms of whatever help we get for depression, it's not going to lead to more reliance on you and your performance,
right,
and how you can put on a happy face and pretend not to be. It's going to be, how do I learn to rely on God in the midst of how I'm thinking and processing that will change it. And then it gets to exactly what you said. The comfort with which I've been comforted is the comfort now that I get to pass on to the people. And I think you're right. People who have survived depression, and maybe it's something, maybe it's a lifelong battle for some. Maybe it's just like some physical ailments or lifelong battles for people, or some intellectual challenges or lifelong things for people. Depression may be a lifelong thing that you, not that you deal with the horror of it, but you deal with the possibility of it. And in that, learn to rely on Jesus. But I tell you, people who have survived it and come through it are the best people in the world. Just like someone who's, you know, been through some great horrible sin and God's delivered them. Boy, they're the best people to be near others who are struggling with the same thing. If God's redeemed them in it. If they achieved it themselves, they're no fun to be with. You've got to work harder. But if they have been comforted by the Lord and learned to rely on it, then these are the folks that, and so some of you that are battling depression, as God finds a way and you find a way with him to walk out of this with him, I like what you're saying. You become a great resource for other people. You'll recognize depression in other people when I'll walk right by it and not even see it, because you've been there and you recognize the look and you recognize the symptoms.
One of the things that I learned out of all this is so oftentimes the well-meaning but not very helpful counsel that a lot of people try to give, I think is predicated on what I consider to be a fallacy. I don't think when things are not going well in your life that it's true that God is somehow trying to teach you something. But it's always just that at the end of the day, there's some lesson that you must learn.
Yeah.
And I think so much of the counsel, the advice, the in quotes help that people try to offer is predicated on that fallacy that, you know what, if you were doing everything right, you would not be experiencing this.
Yeah.
And my experience in life is, you know what? I don't think that's true.
There's the self-blame again, isn't it? This is your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that tends to drive people who are hurting deeper into their pain and hurt in an unhelpful, unredemptive way. Because, again, it is heaping that sense of the guilt and the shame of, you know what? You're not performing well.
That's
right. If you were really living the life that Jesus called us to live, you'd be happy.
That's why the system of religious obligation, I think, is the worst place for a depressed person to be.
Yeah.
And that's what many counselors will tell you. If you're in this environment where people are trying to increase your sense of shame, if you've got a problem, it's because you're not working hard enough and you're not believing more enough, or you're not praying in the right way, or, you know, whatever. And I think that whole system of religious obligation, number one, doesn't want you to hurt. I want to see you happy. So be happy, would you? Yeah. You know, how many praise services have I gone to begin with that? This is the day the Lord has made. You people don't look like it. Let's put a smile on our faces. And there's that whole denial of emotion and the reality of emotion that seems to be part of the whole religious obligation environment. We don't want to be real. We just want you to look happy. And I want you to be happy, certainly. I think that's true. But if you're not really happy, just pretend you are, because we don't know what else to do.
Yeah, some of the forms of fake it till you make it.
Yeah, that's...
And he's going like, I don't really think that works so hot.
And I like Jim's comment. He said it seems that our human wiring is that what we don't talk out, we will act out.
Yeah, wow.
And I just,
well said.
And I think that's what brothers and sisters are for. And I think this is why we used to say, when I was part of a more relational community before it turned into something we didn't like so much, we kept saying, you know, there's no need that's so insignificant we want it handed over to the rigors of a program. It really needs a person. Everybody needs some people to walk with them, and people they can be honest with, and people you don't have to pretend around, people you can genuinely be who you are and what you're struggling with. I'm reading a book that I'm hesitant to know whether I'm going to share the title. I think we may talk about it on a future podcast. But I love the contrast in this book between the protected heart, which is I've got to act certain ways and defend myself against everything that's coming to terrorize me, and what God's doing in us to make us an unprotected heart, where I can live authentically me and face whatever that brings to my life in the trust that God's bigger than everything that I face. So I don't live with this need to always protect and defend and push away people. And I hope that's the kind of people that God's making us to be, not only for our own freedom, but so that we can pick up others along the way who need a hand, a shoulder, you know, a lifting up to get to the next place in their life of that kind of liberty.
I think less completely debilitating cases just your average kind of depression that I think touches everybody. There is some truth to the fact that, you know, what your mind dwells on and some of the thoughts that you got programmed into how you understand life, they have a great deal of effect upon that. You know, if my expectation is that in this life I won't have trouble, or everything is supposed to be fantastic, if you have those kind of thoughts, depression is going to come and whip you upside the head.
Life's
several
be
times.
Tough.
Because
absolutely.
You know what? I think that I don't believe there's a promise, a godly promise, that says we won't encounter that. We will, we
fact,
will and we do, okay?
Scripture says just
we will
exactly.
and we do. And I think, you know, it is
I
important.
I like Peter's expression of that, where he says, don't be surprised at. I think that speaks to that same thing of fiery trials and tragedies and things. Don't be surprised. This world's pretty broken. We're going to be part of those.
It might be more helpful if he said, expect them.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're armed with reality, then you're more able to face it when it's there.
Yeah, but I like don't be surprised better than expect.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay. Expect them kind of like I live with this, oh my gosh, when the shoe going to drop now?
Well, and again, I don't think that was the point that I was wanting to bring out. I think that the dynamic is we do have to examine what are some of the base things that are written on my heart? What do I believe? If I'm in a depressed state, I do think, you know what, there are things to examine. Don't be afraid of that. As much as I don't want to give that shame-based kind of stuff, I also don't want to throw out that there are not things to examine.
Yeah, but not in a self-blaming, shaming
yes.
way. I mean, I think that's why you want the counselor slash friend slash whatever who's not sitting there with playing the blame game with you, but really trying to sort out and before God, what are the kinds of thoughts that are producing this kind of living or thinking or whatever? And really find the grace, because Jesus was pretty clear about it. He said, like, you know, we've mentioned that there's going to be trouble. You're going to go through tough times. But what he said to his guys was, I'm telling you these things so that my joy might be in you and so that your joy might be complete.
Yeah.
And it's not a joy that's based on circumstance, so it isn't that. But people who struggle with mental health issues, I you know, why don't we take that on with the same love and affection and non-blame that we would someone facing cancer or heart surgery or whatever, you know, that we just, man, let's just get along beside them. Let's let them express it. Let's pray. Let's seek God's wisdom. Let's find answers medically or however it takes. But man, I tell you, my heart goes out. I've known a lot of folks who face seriously depression. I know people who've been clinically institutionalized, who were told they would never function again without drugs. I have seen God lead them to a place of freedom. And that has been, quite honestly, a few of the cases I'm thinking of, that was 9 or 10 people surrounding this person 5 or 6 years, letting them live in our homes, frequent guests at our table, walking them through the realities of that depression until, my gosh, they come into a spacious place of freedom. And it's wonderful when it happens, I hope that folks, I mean, I don't want anybody out there to give up. If this is what you battle, then battle it and mm-hmm. get some help battling it. And hopefully among brothers and sisters who are thinking outside the box of just organized religion and the religious obligation thing, you really will find some brothers and sisters who will care about you enough to walk it through with you.
What do you say to someone who feels like they have continually cried out to God and yet they still feel stuck under this just lead blanket of despair and they don't hear an answer? What do you, because I mean, I think, I know I have been met with several folks that that's what they feel.
Yeah, I've met them too. My answer would be, I think, keep on knocking and keep on seeking. I had a brother who, and I've known him for years, not a physical brother, but a spiritual brother, who really struggled with alcoholism. And he was going to win it by commitment and devotion. He'd do well for a while, and then he'd crash again. He'd pray and beg God. He'd be so angry at God because God wouldn't fix it every time he'd fall off the thing. And why didn't God love him? If God loved him, God would fix it. And I was talking to him this whole time. And one of the things that came up is, why don't you go to AA? And the thing is, I don't go to AA, I want to trust God. I want to trust God with this thing. And he was just going to fight it on its own and have healing the way he saw healing coming. And I mean, for years, putting his family at risk, putting himself at risk sometimes, driving drunk. A couple of years ago, he ended up driving to work drunk and just realized this is a huge mistake, walked into his boss, dropped the keys on his desk and said, I'm drunk and I need help. And this boss, to his credit, got him in rehab that day, 28 days of rehab, got him out working with AA. This brother now has walked in some great freedom the last 2 years. And he goes, why did I wait so long? I mean, the very thing I was resisting, I was saying, you know, if God will do it, I won't need AA. I won't need a counselor. I won't need this.
You can't get healing on your own terms, can you?
I think that's part of it for people. If what you're doing isn't working, what else can you do? Where else can you look? Who else can you talk to? Don't stop because it hasn't come yet. I think God's promise is pretty certain. I'm going to get there with you, but sometimes we want to define those steps.
Well, we want it on our terms.
And it's not God saying, look, I'm only going to do it through AA. It was AA for this brother had what he needed, had what God needed to work through in his life. And I think the process is great, and particularly for him, he travels a lot. And he was visiting me one time in L.A. He was here on business, and he was going to an AA meeting that night. And that, to me, is such a great picture of what the body of Christ could be if we weren't so fractionalized by all the stupid things that divide us. He says, every town I go into, I can call an AA. And I said, I go to a meeting, and I honestly am just part of where those guys are. He said, you know what? I don't get up and walk out of a meeting. But one of the other guys, all strangers to me when I walk in that night, but will walk up and say, what do you need tonight? Not to drink. Do you need somebody to go to dinner with you? Do you need somebody to? And they will do whatever. He said, I've got that in every town I go to anywhere in the States. And man, I tell you what, if the body of Christ could take it that seriously and say, you know what, it really takes brotherhood and sisterhood to walk people out of things. There's no quick fixes for some things. It's just the lifetime of friendship and care and what do you need to get out of the place you're in, and we'll seek God together. But I just say don't stop. Just because what you're doing doesn't work doesn't mean God doesn't have answers. Just don't stop short of that breakthrough.
Well, I think one of the things I've noticed in the cases that I know where people have gotten well, almost all of them have recognized the need to transfer control of their life over into the hands of the Lord, that sense of surrender. And, you know, for some folks, it can be just religious language. For these people, they recognized they had to relinquish their control. Their life was out of their control, and they were being consumed by something that was bigger than them. And when they were able to sort of recognize, I think the people that I've watched that don't get well are still trying to do it on their terms. And I don't think God's up in heaven going, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to help you because you have terms. I think it just it limits the capacity of where we can, because I'm still trying to do it.
Well, it's not depression is a real thing. It's not just, okay, it's kind of a little thing that God could fix that whenever he decides to. There's something that needs to be untangled.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to go to the places that will help untangle it, then we're going to keep struggling with it. So untangle it. Find brothers and sisters who will walk with you through it, who aren't going to play the blame game, who aren't going to gossip about you, who are not going to grow impatient with the struggle.
Won't let you be the victim.
And won't keep loading you up with advice. I tell you, the thing depressed people need the least is good advice. They need a compassionate shoulder, and they need people who will pray and help them see options. They don't need somebody telling them what to do. None of us do, because it's just not helpful.
Yeah, love is not something you can just happen in a moment. It's like, I think that's where the need for relationship and ongoing walking. I'm not healed by just some serendipitous moment of love. The things that really heal me, the relationships that really help me, are the ones where there's the ongoing sense of security of, you know what? I don't have to perform here anymore. For this person, for that, in that relationship, I don't have to be a something. I'm loved. I'm received. I am accepted. And that's healing. And I think sometimes just the wordless presence of being with someone, just, you know, I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I don't know what you're feeling. This is what, I have no idea, but I'm here.
Yep.
Those can be so helpful.
And that'll be more than anything to the person struggling if it doesn't have the agenda and the pressure. You got to get well in a couple of weeks here. I'm moving on because I can't handle being around a depressed person. It would so help them to know, look, I'm just with you. And even when I have the foggiest idea what to do, I'm just with you. Well, this is something, obviously, that I think we'll probably talk about again. And I think this is great because I think on the forum, some of you have struggled with depression, some of you who haven't tagged onto this yet, and some of you have found your way out of it. Some are still in the middle of it. What's helpful to you? What's not? What was helpful to you? What isn't? I think this is a great way to spur on a larger conversation than you and I talking about.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the dialogue that will develop out of this.
And it might be that we would. Some of you have offered to kind of talk to Brad and I on a phone line sometime, and it might be helpful to do that, where we would, talking about it from a broader context, we can let some other people listen in. Because this is a big deal. I think there's a lot more depressed Christians than we know about, because we're really taught to hide it, not to be open about
it. Yeah, we have a society of denial in regard to it.
And if this just opens the door to that, I think it's worth it. So I'm off to New England. I'll be gone a couple of weeks, so we pre-recorded this one, so it hasn't had much comment from anything recent on the forums. But
I'll see you when you're running out of laundry.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Be back for the your favorite holiday.
Oh, I hate Halloween.
I know you do.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.